Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for another round of Rarely Right, but Never Wrong Sports. The very best in sports and opinion with your host, Bill Emerson. Phone lines are now open at 646-595-2677. Rarely Right, but Never Wrong Sports will begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And welcome to Wednesday, September 8th edition of Rarely Right, but Never Wrong Sports. I am Bill Emerson. Lots going on today. Haven't been here for a couple of days versus the holidays. We're back now. Got a lot to talk about. Before we do, we'd like you to join us. There's two ways to do it. First, you can call us 646-595-2677. You'll be first in line again, 646-595-2677. Or email us at ebill2003@yahoo.com. Either way, we'd like you to join us today and participate. Barry, before we go, I better get my co-host Barry Mullen in here. Barry, do I have you there?
Yes, Bill. Go right ahead.
Well, I tell you, before we get too far, I just want to say to all of our listeners up in North Texas, we got a bunch. A lot of my friends up in Dallas listen to us every day. They're having terrible weather. I don't know if you saw that, Barry. Terrible flooding. 2 to 3 inches an hour of rain. 65-mile-an-hour winds. They sent me an email showing me the flooding of one of the places I used to live, up and over the creek bed, which never happened. I lived there 8 years. So to all you guys, stay safe out there, but enjoy the show. Okay, Barry, let's get started. We're going to do some college football, I guess you'd call it, first. We're going to do some cleanup from what we missed while we were gone. Topic number one today, Reggie Bush to be stripped of his Heisman Trophy for gratuities he took, maybe up to $400,000 worth of money from agents. Barry, he won the Heisman Trophy in 2005. It's now 2010. How do you feel about this?
Yeah, I think it's a good move. You know, it kind of leaves the door open for Vince Young, who was second there in the voting, and I guess they're going to kind of let it lay and not going to re-vote or not going to give him the Heisman Trophy. So I think they made the right move. They got to send a message to cut out all this, you know, under-table money.
Yeah, they're not going to give it to Vince Young. That was one of my points I was going to bring up, is that some people, particularly my friends down in Texas, as I was just alluding to, think they ought to give it to Vince Young. That's not going to happen. They're going to leave it vacant for this year, for that year, the year of 2005, which I think is the right thing to do. Now, who made this decision, Barry, that they're asking him or ordering him, I guess, really, to give the Heisman Trophy back? Do you know?
No, I sure don't.
Well, it's by the Heisman is actually run by a group called the Heisman Trophy Trust, and the board members voted unanimously to ask Reggie Bush to give it back. Now, I'm asking you, as Reggie Bush, now, Barry, put yourself in his shoes. Would you give it back?
Well, first thing, you know, I'm not in his shoes, so that's, you know, it's a tougher call, but I guess you would, you know. I mean, they've made their mind up. He had a great career, money or no money, you know, the $400,000 is talked about. So if they want it back, you know, he's got a great pro career ahead of him. The Saints just came off a Super Bowl victory last season. So, you know, it would probably put him in a better light to the public to give the trophy back, because he's still got his plate is still really full with pro football.
Yeah, I agree with you, Barry. I think Reggie Bush, between himself and the parties, the B that are surround him, they'll decide to give it back. Maybe have a short statement saying they knew what they did was wrong. All of his numbers have to come off the Southern Cal record book. I don't know if you knew that. They're all those numbers. That's what Southern Cal has already decided. Now, there's more than one Heisman. I didn't know that either. But the player gets one. The school gets one. And the school has already given their Heisman back. Mike Garrett is no longer the athletic director. Do you know who the athletic director there is now?
No, I don't.
Well, it's Pat Hayden. People don't know Pat Hayden. Pat and his assistant athletic director is J.K. McKay, son of Coach John McKay. Back when Barry and I were youngsters, these guys were a dynamic duo there. Pat Hayden at quarterback, J.J. McKay at wide receiver. They've both been very successful businessmen. Pat Hayden actually got one of the first Rhodes scholarships as a football player. He's very intelligent. They're going to go in there, and they're going to clean it up. All they're going to do, Barry, is just eliminate all those records. I think that's a good idea, too, don't you?
Yeah, new athletic director coming in, and J.K. McKay, boy, those are some great names from the past. I hadn't heard that name in a long time. Pat Hayden has done some football analysis and was a great quarterback there at Southern Cal. So it's good to see those two guys are back with Southern Cal University. But, yeah, I think they're doing the right thing. They need to kind of SC has had a cloud over its program the last few years, so I think they're trying to get a little sun to break through.
Hey, Barry, we got an email here. Look at this. They didn't want to talk, so I guess they sent us an email. They're asking, does O.J. Simpson still have his Heisman Trophy? Do you know the answer to that?
No, I would think with all the trouble he's been through, I would think that he's probably sold it or it's gotten away from him, so I would say no to that.
Last time I heard, it was for sale. He still owns it. It's still at, I know the Brown family for years went after his Heisman Trophy, as they did. You know, he got in trouble this last time for armed robbery is what they got him for, by going and trying to get some of his memorabilia. The Heisman was not part of that stash there. But I know last time I was hearing it was still for sale if you wanted to buy it. That's an interesting question, and we thank you for asking that question. Let's move on to something else real quick if we can here, Barry, trying to catch up on things we missed in the last few days here. Tiger Woods pick for the Ryder Cup. Your feelings on that?
You know, I think he's got to be one of the happiest guys in the world. You know, his divorce just gets final, you know, the last few days before his term for his previous golf tournament, and he really needed something to brighten him up a little bit. Everybody's kind of kicking him around. I know you've speculated that he won't win another golf tournament, and you think he might have won one by now, but, you know, I think he's really happy to get back with the guys, and he just needs to improve, you know, to get better as a golfer, and I think it just makes him happy. Maybe they had that in mind when they picked the team.
Well, I was looking at the body of work, and truthfully, he shot a 65 here last week for one round in the last tournament. So this talent is still there. It's by the time the Ryder Cup comes around, you hope it's more developed. But I don't see a problem with it at all. The two things Tiger Woods did, and it cost him dearly. Supposedly, I've heard that his divorce cost him $750 million. I think that's probably fairly high. I would say it's probably more under $500 million. Still a lot of money, don't get me wrong. But I would think that the Tiger Woods, this is a good moment for him. It gets out there with the guys. I think most of these guys probably are friends with him. And I think it's a good idea. And if you have to select between Tiger Woods and the numbers, it was a captain's pick. So say the number 7 or 8 guy, I would take Tiger Woods. And plus, you know, the TV, the guys who run the TV for this NBC for the Ryder Cup are awfully happy to see Tiger Woods on there, don't you think?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. He's still, you know, the number one draw. John Daly was, for years and years, you know, everybody crowded around John Daly, and I'm sure they still do just because of his mannerisms. You never know what's going to happen. But Tiger Woods also has the big draw. So, you know, NBC, they got to be happy with this selection.
Yeah, last time I saw John Daly was selling stuff out of his Winnebago, his travel trailer, selling memorabilia, signing autographs and things like that. So a big difference financially between Tiger Woods and John Daly. Tiger Woods, it will always be Tiger Woods. In other words, John Daly's come and go. Have a good tournament here, a good tournament 7 or 8 years later. But the run that Tiger Woods went on there for a couple of years is nearly unsurpassed in the history of golf. Maybe Nicklaus, maybe a little bit of Palmer, Bobby Jones, but really, probably for that short a period of time, unsurpassed. Ready? You ready for some NFL news there, Barry?
Yes, I've got an NFL playbook right here in front of me, football playbook, and it's very interesting. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's start with your team first, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They vote on the captains. The players vote on the captain. For the last 2 years, Ben Roethlisberger was voted as a captain, not this year. Is that a surprise to you? And what does that say about the feelings of the players towards Ben Roethlisberger?
Well, maybe he didn't. Maybe he told the guys, and this is really speculation, that maybe he didn't want to be the team captain because he wasn't going to be there for what looks like to be the first four games. But, you know, he's always been the leader of that football team. So, you know, maybe Roethlisberger felt uncomfortable doing that. And the other team, you know, they wanted to pick somebody else to help him because it could – his first four games is going to definitely determine their season. So they need somebody else to step up and take some leadership.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm saying instead of Roethlisberger talking to these guys, I don't think that happened. It might have. I think the players are sending a note to him. Ben, you could be around this game. You're 28 years old. You could be around this game till you're 38 years old if you take care of yourself. If you don't, you might not be around till you're 29. He's been doing stupid things for several years now. I think the players, and I'm talking in particular about a couple guys, Hines Ward, Troy Polamalu, players that don't get in trouble, Barry, and are the veterans of this team, Hines Ward on offense, Polamalu on defense, are giving him a big heads up. We're not going to put up with this anymore. And I don't think it bothered the coach for this to happen, do you?
I don't know. The team captain, I'm sure the coaching staff, they stay out of things like this. You know, this is something chosen by the players, but you know, they got the pulse on their football team, and Steelers, you know, with Dick LeBeau just got elected to the Hall of Fame, and the whole team came down for the ceremony. So this is a close-knit team. I'm sure Tomlin, and I like him as a head coach. I think he does a good job. I'm sure he had his finger on this, but this is a player's decision, and I think it should stay that way. The coach probably needs to stay out of something like this.
Very quickly, Dennis Dixon starts over Charlie Batch. The young man over the veteran. Any surprise to you there?
Just a lot more mobility. Dixon comes out of Oregon, you know, and it's known for his foot speed. And it seems like some of these great passers are still the pocket passers, but mobility is so important with these blitz packages coming at the quarterback and the speed of linebackers, much less these linemen are really getting fast too. So maybe they're looking for a little bit more mobility, but I expect Batch to get some series also.
Next topic, Darrell Revis re-signs with the New York Jets. 4 years, $46 million. Probably won't be in the best of – I think he'll always be in great shape. But it's a big difference on what happens on the field as opposed to being out jogging and stuff. Are you surprised that they signed him? Because it looked like for a little while there, Barry, both you and I talked about that he might sit out the entire year.
Yeah, and I think it really vaults the Jets up to be the number one team over there in the East, the Patriots – are looking to rebound a little bit from last season, the Dolphins. But Buffalo Bills not going to be there. But Jets, a lot of people have them favorites to maybe win the AFC Championship, and this is just another star for them. So I'm happy he got it done. I know he's kind of one of those social media guy types that you hear a lot about, you know, on some of the captions and ESPN and some fantasy football leagues. But I think it's a good move for the Jets.
Well, here's where the Jets made their mistake. Number one, Rex Ryan literally said there was no defensive back nearly as good as Darrell Revis. He said, I could put him on anybody one-on-one, and I don't even think about that receiver the whole game. Number two, the owners of the Jets, after their first win in the playoffs, went down, put their arm around him, and said, don't worry, we're going to take good care of you. Then when it came time to pay, they weren't taking good care of him. They said, well, you've got a contract with us. You can't do those two things, can you, Barry?
No, you can't tell somebody how great they are and they're the best at their position and, you know, the team can't live without you because then they get to feel, you know, they're worth a bigger contract than what they're getting paid. And you know, you got to watch what you say to some of these players. They may take it once and let it slide off their back, but if they're hearing it from two or three people that carry a bunch of stripes, you know, it tends to weigh on just a little bit more.
Well, you could say it to them, but don't be shocked when they come out and say, if I'm the best, why am I paid 12th or 13th or 14th, whatever it was among defensive backs in our conference in the AFC? You can't do it both. Albert Haynesworth, Barry, you were hinting a couple of weeks ago that he might not be with this team the Washington Redskins at the start of the regular season. Now it looks like he might get traded, possibly back to the Titans. Are you still standing by your prediction that he won't be there come Sunday?
Well, the way it looks, you know, I haven't studied near as much, but it's really getting a lot of press on the NFL Network that he's pretty much signed and sealed and delivered back down to Tennessee. So I think Shanahan and the Redskins brass, Snyder, has probably had enough, and they may get some good trade, may get a good trade somebody in return for Haynesworth.
Well, they've already given him, as we said before, $32 million in 15 months. They can't get their money back. They might as well trade him, get what you can, call a loss, but that has to say something. Of course, it's not my money. It's Daniel Snyder's money. If he wants to give everybody $32 million, I could care less. But that's just another note out there about sometimes you sign these players and you don't get the 100% effort. He will do better back in Tennessee under Jeff Fisher. We all know that. One more disenchanted player now is Randy Moss. Unhappy, no extension. Go ahead, Barry.
And Tom Brady, you know, they both those guys are getting batted around pretty good here right before the season opener. Looks like Brady probably may get taken care of a little bit more than Randy Moss. But, yeah, Randy Moss is still, you know, one of the top three or four receivers in the league and wants to be paid that way. I think he likes it in New England. But, you know, this is not a good thing to happen right before the season starts.
Okay. Let me tell you what my points about this are. Number one, you're with a team that has historically paid players until they thought they couldn't get their money back on them. Richard Seymour, Mark Vrabel, you can go down the list and not pay them anymore. Randy Moss is at that. He's 34 years old. He's at that level right now. They're not going to sign him to a three-year big money contract. They will go get somewhere else, go somewhere else and get somebody else next year. But for Randy Moss, Barry, he has got to play hard this year. Because somebody else in Oakland, it could be anybody. We always throw out Oakland just because they take those kind of guys. Somebody, if he has a 75-catch year, he'll get a contract somewhere else and a nice contract, at least a multi-year, probably two, maybe 3 years. He has got to play. He can't do what he normally does and turn it off because he'll never get another big contract. He'll get a one-year deal like Terrell Owens did, and then ask Terrell Owens how much fun that is. As far as Tom Brady, I know you took Tom Brady in your fantasy league, but he's got two receivers, Randy Moss, disenchanted, Wes Welker, coming off of a tragic knee injury. Barry, I just don't know. I'll be honest with you. I know you might like these teams. I actually like the Dolphins over the Jets and the Patriots, but go ahead on that.
Well, it's just hard to bet against Tom Brady and Belichick, you know, and the game off the field is going to be a little cloudy, seems like, but the game on the field with Brady leading your team, it looks like he's coming back around healthy. Had 28 touchdown passes last year, 29. You know, it's hard to bet against them. We talked about the Jets and Patriots. Whenever their first game is during the season, that's going to be one of the best matchups. Look like it's maybe the second game of the season, the Jets. So that's going to be a great matchup. I don't think the Dolphins quite got the quality, but, you know, so much rides on Brady. He has been known to get hurt, so if he gets hurt, that's really going to drop them down.
And so much relies on Sanchez for the Jets. I'm one of those that believes in the sophomore jinx. I never believe a guy that has a good rookie season. Of course, he didn't have to do a lot. You're the one that said that. He handed the ball off. This year he has Tomlinson to hand it off to more. I just don't like the team as well as everybody else does, I'll be honest with you. Barry, why don't we take a short message break here, a commercial break, and we'll be right back after this for more Rarely Right But Never Wrong Radio.
Are you in the mood for hot, delicious pizza tonight? Well, in Green Forest, there's only one place to go, Pizza Pro and Movie Time. They offer the best in mouth-watering pizza, great sandwiches, and healthy salads. While you're there, pick out a movie from their large selection of the newest releases. That's Pizza Pro and Movie Time, 870-438-5457. Owned and operated by Barry Mullen, coach and sponsor of the North Arkansas Fever girls basketball team.
So, Barry, quickly, what's your special over there today? Please don't say pepperoni.
A large pepperoni.
Oh.
We've been selling the fire out of them. That's our number one sale. And the price of pepperoni doesn't seem to be appreciating like the U.S. economy here, so it's staying at a good level price, and I just hate to take it off. We really sell a bunch of pepperoni pizzas, so we're hanging in there. I know
pepperoni's the most. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know you're commercializing here for beef or sausage, but your words are well founded. I'm listening.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Pepperoni is probably the most popular topping, and I never hear a complaint from any of your customers over there when they see that pepperoni special up there. So we'll go that's okay for another few days at least for us. Let's get to college football quickly. Boise State, after their exciting victory over Virginia Tech, got 7 first-place votes. Barry, they're still third. Here's the top 5 of college football. Alabama 1, Ohio State 2. Boise State stays at 3. Nothing there changed. TCU moves to 4 and Texas 5. Barry, you have any problem with those top 5?
No, not especially. Ohio State's got a big test this weekend. They got the feature game against Miami, Florida. So, I think that's a pretty good 5. Boise State with just a great victory over Virginia Tech. Looked like Virginia Tech had them at the end of the game, and Moore drives them all the way down the field for a beautiful touchdown pass. So, just a great win for the mid-majors, and Boise State's, well, they got the inside track if things can just fall their way.
Ohio State against Miami, Barry, you brought that game up. Miami, at the end of last year, was a pretty hot team. What do you think about this year?
Their quarterback, this is going to be a matchup against two really good quarterbacks. DeCorey Harris is leading Miami. Some people think that team could jump up all the way to the top 5. Terrell Pryor's a Heisman candidate. So that looks like it'll be a game dominated by two quarterbacks. I like Ohio State.
Yeah, I think Ohio State will probably win this. I think they're better than even I think. I don't think they're – I told you earlier in the year I had some problems with some of their team. But I'm going to tell you right now, this is a big game. We'll find out two things. Is Ohio State for real? And number two, is Miami for real? Because like I said, Miami, a lot of people think they're the most underrated team in the nation. We'll find out Saturday. Any problem with Alabama being number 1 over Ohio State, Barry?
No, they got a pretty good core coming back. They run the table last year, 14 wins, no losses. They're the champion. Until somebody beats them, it's hard to take them off the number 1 team.
Barry, what happens if Alabama and Ohio State both lose a game? The national championship game could be TCU and Boise State. How do you think the television networks would like that?
I'm sure they wouldn't. You know, they like a team from the Big 12 or the Big 10 or the SEC. And, you know, and some last year they had 2 undefeated teams with Alabama going up against Texas, I believe, for the championship. And that was a great matchup. So Boise State is really going to be there. It's hard to run the SEC, Big 12, or Big 10 plus 1 plus Penn State. That, you know, those teams got their work cut out for them, so I'm getting to where I like Boise State. They may slip in there.
Oh, 2 weeks ago you told me I was crazy when we talked about it. You said, there's no way Boise State could play for the national championship. You said, even if Alabama and Ohio State each lost one game, you said they couldn't happen. Now all of a sudden you're seeing things. I'm going to go back to my point, though, about the television networks. They like one underdog. They don't like two. TCU and Boise State would not draw anywhere. Some of us hardcore football fans would watch it, but not, I don't think, a whole bunch. I think it'd have the lowest ratings. But if you get Alabama or Ohio State undefeated against Boise State or TCU, people will watch that game, and a lot of them will be cheering for the underdog. Barry, let's get closer to home here. Arkansas won big last week. They play Louisiana Monroe this week. They were rated 14th. After this week, if things fall into place and they win big and a couple of teams get beat, they could very easily be top 11. I don't think they can get to the top 10, but I think they could be 11 or 12, don't you?
Yeah, knocking on the door, you know, maybe 12, somewhere around there, which is really close to getting in the top 10. And they got Georgia at Georgia. Then they host Alabama, which was – going to set up for one of the most exciting regular season games the Razorbacks have had in quite a while. So, but Monroe's Division One, you know, they just moved up to Division One years ago, and that presented some problems. So, I don't think Petrino's overlooking this team and looking forward to Georgia.
No, I'm sure he's not. Around here, a lot of people happy. Ole Miss, coached by Houston Nutt, loses to Division 1A. Jacksonville State, coached by another former Razorback, Jack Crow. Barry, what were your feelings about that game?
You know, I'm a big Houston Nutt fan. I thought he really vaulted the program. We were, after Frank Broyles left, and Lou Holtz came in and did a good job. But after that, I thought our program was lost, and Houston Nutt gets hired away from, might have been Boise State or Murray State, some of the places he's been. But really vaulted our program back up in a prominence. Never could quite get into a championship game, but played some really important games. So I like to see the SEC teams win. I think Houston Nutt was good for Arkansas. Some people will stone my building for saying that, but that's a devastating loss for Ole Miss.
Yeah, Barry, that tells you all you had to know. He stepped into a team that literally had one of the best recruiters in the nation, Ed Orgeron, who went to Tennessee with Lane Kiffin, now is at Southern Cal with Lane Kiffin, used his talent, won some games. Now we're going to find out, and I have a feeling this is going to be the end. I think he'll get through this year, and I think that's it for Houston Nutt there. I think down there at Mississippi, they're going to read through him a lot quicker than maybe we did here because we had such great talent here. Three big SEC games this week, I think all three of these are big, and I'll tell you, we're going to start first with the one I really am interested in seeing what you think about, Georgia at South Carolina. Barry, South Carolina didn't look bad at all, and this is about the time Spurrier's been there 5 years. He's got to get something going, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think this is a 2-3 matchup in the East. It's still like Florida may be the best team over there, and Georgia has Rick's got high hopes over there for his team. South Carolina may move up to third past Tennessee. So, this is going to be a really good early matchup over there in the East to maybe see who the runner-up would be over on that side. So, yeah, you keep expecting Spurrier's team to get up there and challenge for the Eastern title, but they never have really been able to get over the hump. Georgia's had just a great following. I like Georgia in this game.
I like South Carolina. I think this is going to be the game I really want to watch this weekend. Auburn at Mississippi State. Everybody's high on Auburn, but Mississippi State played very well. Their drawback is they have a coach named Mullins. That never works out. I know that. But besides that, Barry, Mississippi State could be an improving team, right?
Yeah, you know, you go back, we talk about assistant coaches, and Malzahn always comes up, and he's really a name that keeps getting thrown around there as one of the best offensive minds in college football. And there are a lot of people that are jumping on the Auburn bandwagon. It seemed like 3 months ago, back during the early summer, everybody kind of liked the Razorbacks maybe to follow Alabama, but now Auburn's really getting some momentum here. So Mississippi State's kind of a sleeper team. You have to watch them. They won some games last year, but Auburn may be the tougher team here.
So you're taking Auburn?
Yes.
Well, you're taking all the road teams. Finally, the big game, Penn State and Alabama. I'll take Alabama since it's at Alabama. Plus, I think Penn State's not going to have nearly as good a year as they had last year. Your feelings on that game, Barry?
You know, I'm kind of scared for Alabama there. I think Ingram needs to be close to 100%. Penn State, Paterno has his team always ready. They play that vanilla type of football and uniform and everything in a low-key manner. I think they got a chance to come in there and knock off Alabama.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Barry, I will tell you right now that I don't think that I don't think Penn State's going to be nearly as well, do as well as they did last year, like I said before. Here's what I'm looking for. Trent Richardson, Alabama running back, just as good as Ingram. Barry, that's our show for today. I'm going to take Alabama, by the way. Barry, that's our show for today. We're out of time already. I'll see you tomorrow at 2:30. Rarely Right, But Never Wrong Radio. See you then.